To the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Last week we began looking at the time frame of the rapture, and we stated there's three basic views concerning when the rapture takes place. There are those post-tribulation, which believe, of course, that rapture takes place after the tribulation period. And there's mid-tribulation, which believe, again, that the rapture takes place in the middle of the tribulation period. And then there's pre-tribulation, which believes that Christ returns, right, the tribulation follows the rapture. Last week, we looked at the post-tribulation theory, and they place the rapture here in Revelation 20, verses 4 through verse 6. And again, this theory denies the doctrine of immanence, certainly denies all distinctions between the rapture and the second advent when Christ returns with his saints. They do away with that completely. It's based upon a misunderstanding of the word tribulation, as we saw last week. And the whole doctrine is built upon the two words there in Revelation 20, verse 5 and 6. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Such the second death hath no power. They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Their basic foundation for their position is first resurrection. And again, one of the first questions they'll ask is, how many first resurrections are there? Well, if just in Revelation 11, which we'll get to here in a few minutes, but in Revelation 11, there's a resurrection that takes place of the two witnesses. So obviously, when you come to Revelation chapter 20, verse 5 and 6, there's already been a prior resurrection to this first resurrection. So the mistake is they make the word first apply first numerically. And again, I believe the rapture has several stages, and this just happens to be one of the stages of what we would refer to as the first resurrection. Again, that being the rapture. Well, today we want to look at the mid-tribulation period. And again, according to this view, the saints of God will be raptured at the end of the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. The theory teaches that the rapture occurs in connection with the sounding of the seventh trumpet and the catching up of the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11. And let's turn there in Revelation chapter 11. If you were to ask a person who holds the position of a mid-tribulation rapture, if you were to ask them to show you in the Bible where the rapture takes place, they would take you to Revelation chapter 11. This is where they believe that the rapture takes place. We would disagree with them concerning their chronology of the book of Revelation, but we're not going to get into that. We just want to look mostly at their one basic argument or foundation. But this view also, of course, is a denial of the doctrine of immanence concerning the return of Christ, just like post-tribulation view. And just like post-tribulation view, this view is based upon a misunderstanding of the word tribulation. They'll say the Lord promises that we'll have tribulation, so we're going to go through some of the tribulation period. We're not going to go through it all, but we're going to go through some of it. Again, based upon a misunderstanding of the word tribulation. But let's read Revelation chapter 11, begin reading in verse 1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Again, we see 42 months there in verse 2, 3.5 years. And then verse 4, these are the two olive trees and two candlesticks, describing these two witnesses standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. Again, talking about these two witnesses. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put into graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, that is, their dead bodies, and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour there was a great earthquake, and the 10th part of the city fell, and the earthquake, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe was past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the 7th angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, The kingdom of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God in their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God. Now, again, if you were to ask someone who believed in a mid-tribulation rapture to show you from Scripture where the rapture takes place, they would come to Revelation chapter 11. And they would place the rapture in verse 11 and verse 12, specifically verse 12. Now we know that Revelation 11 here is talking about two witnesses. You were to pick up a commentary on the book of Revelation, most authors spend several pages trying to prove who these two witnesses are. Most will say that it is Elijah and John the Baptist, but to me that's a waste of paper and ink. It really doesn't matter who they are, and the Bible doesn't tell us who they are, and there's no sense spending a lot of time worrying about who they are. But those who believe in a mid-tribulation rapture will say that it is Elijah and John the Baptist. Elijah representing all Old Testament saints, and John the Baptist representing all New Testament saints. So what they're saying is, in verse 12, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. There's the rapture in their minds. And this is simply a type. Again, these two witnesses represent Old Testament saints and New Testament saints. So again, we see immediately We're into a non-literal interpretation of the Bible. They have completely ignored a literal interpretation here in Revelation chapter 11. So they say these two witnesses represent all the saints, Old Testament, New Testament. And again, post-tribulation, the basis of post-tribulation is first resurrection. I mean, that's what they build upon. They have other arguments, but they build upon those two words, first resurrection. Now, the mid-tribulation people, they also have a foundation that they build upon. And that foundation is the trumpet. They build upon the trumpet. They cannot get away from the trumpet, just like the post-tribulation people cannot get away from first resurrection. The mid-tribulation position builds everything upon this trumpet, builds everything upon the last trump that we read of in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 52. So their argument is this. They will argue, again, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15, 52. Keep a mark there in Revelation 11. But in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump." Okay, and this is where they build their foundation. The last trump. Just like the post-tribulation period people, they will say, how many first resurrections are there? The mid-tribulation people will say, how many last trumps are there? So when they see this word last trump, they immediately begin to search in the scriptures, where is the last trumpet? And they find it here in Revelation chapter 11. In verse 15, when the angel sounded the trumpet, the seventh trumpet. They say, see, there it is. There's the last trump. We have a resurrection in verse 12. So it is obvious that the rapture has taken place in Revelation chapter 11. But there's a lot of problems with that position. Again, we see a trumpet in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16 as well. There it's referred to as the trump of God. Not referred to as the last trump, but it is referred to as the trump of God. So they're going to put all their emphasis upon that word last. I guarantee you, if you were to talk to a post-tribulation period that just came to the position and didn't know any other arguments, there's one argument he knows, and that is first resurrection. And they're going to stick with that. You talk to a mid-tribulation person, if they've just come to this, they don't know any of the other arguments, they're going to, again, everything is on this last trumpet. The last trumpet. Well, the word last can mean one of two things. It can be last in point of time, or it can be last in point of sequence. Last in point of time can signify that which concludes a program. That which concludes a program. Once that program is over, then of course there can be other trumpets, but it's not connected with that program. So it can be the last which concludes a program, but not necessarily the last that will ever exist. So the trumpet, we see the trumpet for the rapture is singular. Again, there in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 52, the last trump, singular. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, the trump of God, singular. So we know it's not talking about the last of a series. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, it's not the last of a series of trumpets. It is simply the last trumpet. It concludes a program. It concludes the program of the saints upon this earth. Now, the trumpet in Revelation chapter 11 is clearly the last in a series. They last in a series of seven trumpets. We see when the seventh angel sounded, there were six previous trumpets to this. So we know that the trumpet in Revelation 11, though it's not the word last is not used, we know that it is the last in a series of seven trumpets. And the last trump in 1 Corinthians 15:52 is one who a trumpet that ends or concludes a program. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 4, the resurrection is associated with a voice and the sound of the trumpet. Notice, again, keep a mark there in Revelation 11 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Again, the mid-tribulation people insist that this trumpet in Revelation 11:15 is identical with the trumpet in 1 Corinthians 15:52 and identical with the trump of God in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. Now, in verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians 4, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God." Preceding this, following the voice, following the shout, following the trumpet, the dead in Christ shall rise first. So we see the order here. There is a voice, there is a shout, there is a voice, and there is a trump of God, and then there is a resurrection or a rapture. Now, when we come to Revelation chapter 11, we see that is not the order at all. We see in verse 11, "And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them." So they're now alive. They're standing there. "And they heard a great voice from heaven, saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them." You have the voice, and then you have a resurrection. But the trumpet doesn't sound until after this resurrection. The trumpet sounds there in verse 15. So, 1 Thessalonians 4, you have the sounding of the trumpet and then the resurrection. Revelation chapter 11, you have the resurrection, or rapture, as they would say, and then you have the trumpet. The order is not the same. So it cannot possibly be the same trumpet that we read of in 1 Corinthians 15:52. It cannot possibly be the same trumpet that we read of here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, we see the trumpet sounds, and in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, this resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15 takes place in a moment. It takes place in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. But in Revelation, and again, it's a one-time thing. It's not a prolonged sound of a trumpet. There's a trumpet and the twinkling of an eye. It's immediate. But in Revelation chapter 10, this seventh trumpet continues on. Continues on for a length of time. It's not just one noise and then stops, but it continues on. Notice in Revelation 10 and verse 7, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel," now the seventh angel is the one who sounds the trumpet in verse 15, "when he shall begin to sound." That doesn't just say when he sounds, it says when he shall begin to sound, implying that this is going to continue for a while. "When he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets." So in Revelation 10, verse 7, the indication is that the seventh trumpet shall sound over a continued period of time when he shall begin the sound. But in 1 Corinthians 15:52, it's the trump of God. And in a moment, and in the twinkling of an eye, we see that there is an immediate change. Now, again, it can be said that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it is referred to as the trump of God. It could be argued here that in Revelation 11 and verse 12, that it's not the trumpet of God, it's a trumpet of an angel. It's made very clear that is the angel that sounds this trumpet. And the word angel there simply means a messenger. It is one of the seven messengers that sounds this trumpet. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, and certainly in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the rapture that takes place, it's so sudden, it is so quick, no one sees it. No one sees it. But when we come to Revelation chapter 11, that's not the case at all. Notice, again, in verse 11, we see the first thing that happens, the Spirit of God enters into them, which is He imparts life. He imparts life. And we agree that in all resurrections there is the impartation of life. But again, at the rapture, the impartation is just like that. It's done. And then caught up to meet the Lord. But here we see the Spirit of God enters into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. So people could see what was taking place, people upon the earth. And they heard a great voice. Not just the two witnesses heard a great voice, but I believe all those who beheld them heard this great voice. Now in the rapture, the only ones who are going to hear the trump, the only ones who are going to hear the voice are the sheep. The only ones. It's not going to be like we're all raptured up and people are going to be standing around wondering what that voice was. Wondering what that trumpet was. They didn't even hear it. And for the most part, they're not even going to notice that we're gone. As we said before, I don't believe that the graves have to open. We'll have a glorified body. They can come right through the graves without any graves being opened, without any ground being disturbed. But we see here in Revelation 11, what takes place is seen. It is seen by those who are upon the earth. We also see that following this resurrection in Revelation chapter 11, notice in verse 13, and the same hour was there a great earthquake. Now, it's just amazing to me that we read nothing of this earthquake in 1 Corinthians 15. We read nothing of this earthquake in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And someone say, well, it's really not that important. Well, read on. And the tenth part of the city fell. 10% falls, and the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. That sounds like a magnificent event that's going to take place after the resurrection of these two witnesses, certainly. If there is going to be an earthquake that follows the rapture, Paul would have mentioned it in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul would have mentioned it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. There's no mention of an earthquake following the rapture. There's no mention of 7,000 people being killed. There's no mention of that whatsoever. So again, it's very difficult to assume that the seventh trumpet in Revelation chapter 11, is the same as the last trump of 1 Corinthians 15. I've seen mid-tribulation, those who hold the mid-tribulation position, they will ask a question to somebody who believes in pre-trib, and they will say, do you believe that the seventh trumpet in Revelation is the same as the last trump in 1 Corinthians 15, without thinking. Some of the pre-tribulation people say, yes, well, they got you. Because that's what they want you to say. That's what they want you to believe. To fail to distinguish the difference between the seventh angel sounding the trumpet, and the last trump. Their whole doctrine is based upon that last trump. So again, if you were to, just like anybody who believes false doctrine, if you were to ask them to show you in the Bible their position, they'll find something. They will be able to take you somewhere in the Bible and make an attempt to show you. It's no different. When you talk to post-tribulation people, they will take you to Revelation chapter 20. And they'll see, there it is, plain as day. Rapture takes place. The mid-tribulation people will take you to Revelation chapter 11. And they'll say, see, the two witnesses, that shows that is the place of the rapture. That, of course, brings us then to pre-tribulation rapture. And all three positions, post-trib, mid-trib, pre-trib. And this is something that some will not agree on, but it's a fact. None of those three positions can answer all the questions that one will have in the book of Revelation. Can't happen. I've heard post-tribulation people say, the reason I became post-tribulation is because pre-trib didn't answer all my questions. Well, I got news for you. Post-trib doesn't either. And post-trib answers even less. And the mid-tribulation period, people will say the same thing. Well, the pre-trib couldn't answer all of my questions. None of them can. And again, I've heard preachers say pre-trib can answer all the questions. I don't think so. Because my point is, it's not that it's a weak theory. The point is, there is so much there. You and I just do not have all the answers. And the best thing to do when we come to these things in eschatology, when we don't know, the best thing to do is just say, I don't know. But I'll just leave that with the Lord. I can't really explain how that happens or when it happens or whatever, but I believe it's going to happen. And because the more you try to explain something you don't know, the worse it gets. So even pre-trib people, they need to come to the realization that the pre-tribulation, you're not going to answer all the questions. I cannot answer all the questions that the post-tribulation person asks. I cannot answer all the questions that the mid-tribulation person asks. And they cannot answer my questions. So again, that is something we have to realize, that none of these theories, none of these positions are able to answer all the questions, because much of it is a mystery. Much of it is a mystery. But the pre-tribulation rapture position, I believe, is the position that is most in line with Scripture. I do not believe that you have to take liberty with Scripture to prove a pre-tribulation rapture. You know, the post-tribulation period people will say, and so will the mid-tribulation people say, they'll say, well, you just want to believe that because you don't want to go through the tribulation period. Well, they've got that right. I certainly don't want to go through the tribulation period. But that's not the reason I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture because I believe that's what the Scriptures teach. And I believe the Scriptures plainly teach a pre-tribulation rapture. And again, I could probably have a post-tribulation person preach or a mid-tribulation person preach if it did not lead to all the other things, but it always does. And because of that, I just can't do it. You could say, well, they're just confused, and but it leads to doctrinal error all down the line, especially with church truth. So the pre-tribulation rapture is the only position that makes a distinction between the trumpets of Scripture. The only one that makes that distinction between the trumpets. It's the only one that believes in the imminency of the return of Jesus Christ. And if there was Noah, if that was the only reason I had for believing in pre-tribulation rapture, I believe that's good enough. Because the Scriptures very plainly teach the imminency of His return. Because I believe that if the rapture was going to take place at the end of the tribulation period, I'm not that bright, but I believe I could figure it out. I believe I could figure it out about when the rapture was going to take place. And I believe I could figure it out if I believed it was a mid-tribulation. But the Scriptures are very plain. You don't know. So to me, that's the strongest argument there is. The imminency of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we'll look next week at several reasons why we believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly